Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome to the show. In case you don't know, this is a faith and values show that intersects faith and values with different issues going on locally and globally. It's always a pleasure doing this with you for now over 20 years. I have my friend Ed Billick in studio with me. He's going to talk with me about a subject today that I think all of us are struggling with, especially during the COVID-19 crisis, and that's the subject of grief. Ed, good morning.
Good morning, David. Welcome. Welcome back this Sunday morning. Like you say, when the sun comes up, where there is,
there's always hope.
Yes,
always
sun came up this morning.
There's always hope, folks. Don't live in despair. There's always hope. God's in control. He's sitting on his throne. He's sitting on the throne no matter who is president. He's sitting on the throne no matter what pandemic may be going on. He's sitting on the throne. Therefore, we can relax, have faith, and be living in hope. Let's talk about grief today, Ed, because I read today that 200,000-plus lives now have been lost to COVID, 94% because of some pre-existing condition, only 6% who really got it, and then the disease itself caused death. But the truth is, death is grief, and it causes people huge loss in their hearts, and a lot of people just don't know how to face grief. They know it's going to happen, death's a reality, but they really aren't taught how to handle grief. So I thought today would be a great show to be able to do so in light of the COVID pandemic, but also WBT suffered a loss recently of one of its staff people, caused some tremors around this place, and people are constantly now, again, especially with the pandemic, facing the reality that death does happen and we have to face grief.
Every one of us, I mean, from our early childhood to the day we leave this world, the frequency of friends and relatives and neighbors that die before us increases.
Yeah, it does. And you've lost your dad. Your mom's still alive, though, right?
No, she passed away in February.
Okay, thank you.
I can talk that a little bit later. My dad's been gone 33 years. Your dad, he passed on.
Yeah, my mom and dad have both passed away.
But you still grieve.
Even to this day. You know, there's a loss that's there. And someone said, and I think it's really good, grief is spelled L-O-S-S. It really is. When you lose something, you grieve. And the greater the love for whatever it is, the greater the grief that is. Think, for example, the difference between losing your car keys, which causes some grief, anxiety, oh no, what am I going to do, to losing a loved one.
They say, David, that the amount of love you have in your part of your body or in your mind for that person, when that loss happens, that part of your body dies.
Yeah. You know, my dad used to say to me that when mom died some 6 years before he passed away, that he could never remarry because a part of him died when my mom died. And that makes sense, Ed, because the Bible teaches that when two people really love each other in marriage, the two become one. They literally become one life. So when one departs this world to go to the next one, a part of that person is literally ripped away and dies, and they just aren't ever the same person. Even though they continue to live, a part of them has gone on.
How many times you walk through a cemetery and you see where the man had died and the wife, you know, months or a couple years later, they're very close, and in some cases, they pass on the same day.
I have actually seen that happen in my years of ministry, that one would die in the morning, the other died that evening. It was almost like, I can't live life without her, and his body shut down, and he went on to be with the Lord after his wife had passed away that morning. But you're right, I see that a lot in ministry, that one will pass away within days, months, within just a couple of years. The other will leave this world too.
You have a list of how can we handle grief. I know we want to cover that this Sunday.
I thought today would be a good day to do this because I am experiencing, among many people that I know, just great grief right now. It's loss of jobs. It's loss of loved ones. It's a loss for a lot of different reasons, and you can grieve over a lot of things, not just the loss of a loved one, but nevertheless, a lot of people just don't know how to handle grief. And I really believe that depression is grief turned inward that never gets resolved. And if you allow it just to rummage deep in your heart and keep pounding you over and over again, you'll eventually give in to depression and fall into a bad state. So we want to give some people today the practical steps on how to handle grief. how to move forward, how to know that it's not the end of the game. There's still hope in life, even though you have experienced loss. And it's just something everybody in this world goes through. I think one thing we want to say before we take the break is just really believe, folks, you're not in this boat alone. Everybody goes through it. Everybody has loss. Everybody experiences things that just hurt. We, though, need to learn how to deal with that grief. And when we learn how to deal with that grief, then we can become healthy again.
We need to learn how to express it.
Right. And need to learn how to let it go through its course,
yes,
in our lives,
yes,
because that's part of the learning process. There's no easy way to go through grief, but you have to go through it. And when you go through it, there is another side. I mean, I've had people tell me that have lived well after their spouses, that even though their spouse has gone on, years later, there's still hope in their lives, there's meaning in their lives. And actually, next week, I'm marrying a couple where one was married for 45 years, lost her husband, and now has found somebody else.
How about that?
Isn't it wonderful news? So let's talk about grief today, folks. I'm David Chadwick. Ed Billick's with me. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. My friend, producer Ed Billick, is joining me as we talk about the subject of grief today. Over 200,000 COVID deaths now, and life itself just brings grief. We lose jobs. We lose all kinds of things in our lives. And especially when we lose people, we go through this process of grief. And Ed, that's where I want to begin today, that grief is a process. You don't suddenly lose something and then suddenly get well. It just doesn't work that way. In fact, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross years ago wrote a book on the stages of grief, and she talks about how each one is necessary and you have to walk through each one before you'll ultimately get to wholeness of life. And she is so right, and there's no right way to grieve through each stage. You've just got to do it.
Why do some people handle this better than others?
Well, there are a lot of different reasons for that. You know, some people have community around them, and they have people who can walk with them through the crisis, and that's something I want to talk about a little bit later on. Don't grieve alone. You just won't grieve as healthily and get well as quickly. Another reason is some people just genetically have healthier bodies, and when you're healthier physically, you can grieve better emotionally. We are body, soul, and spirit. We're interconnected in our human personality. Other people have environmental factors. They were raised in good, healthy homes where grief was modeled in a positive way, and they saw it in a positive way, so they therefore copied what they saw, and it allowed them then to get healthier when they were grieving themselves. So there are a multitude of different factors, but the truth is there are certain ways we can grieve for everyone that will make it easier and better in order to return to some sense of health. And I would say to everyone listening right now, you need to understand this. Everyone grieves differently. That's where I would begin this whole show on grief. Everyone grieves differently. Largely, Ed, because of what you just mentioned, our different backgrounds, our different genetic makeups, our different personalities, our different communities of faith, but also just because humans are different and every single one of us does grieve differently. So if you're walking through grief, don't feel badly if you've not gotten through the stage of grief more quickly than you think you should have, or you're just still stuck in a place of hurt because the person you love so much is now gone.
Somehow I think the good Lord gave us pets, dogs and cats, because their lifespans are much shorter, and you almost practice grieving by the loss of your pets. For many people, David, they are a strong part of the family. My wife is a pet sitter. She does this for fun, and she enjoys pets, but many times she shares when the people's, you know, cat or dog had passed, and it affects them. I think God gives us pets to help practice.
Well, that's interesting, Ed. That could well be, and there's no question that when people lose beloved pets, they grieve. Again, grief is often spelled L-O-S-S. It's the loss that you have that causes the grief, and the greater the love for the object of your love, the greater the grief that there is. So if you really affectionately adore a pet, when that pet dies, you're going to grieve. And that's natural, and it's okay. If you lose your car keys, you'll grieve at some level. If you lose a family member, you're going to grieve at a deeper level. The greater the love, the greater the loss. So we understand that's a part of the human experience. And we just need to make sure everybody knows today that everyone grieves differently. Everybody walks through the stages of grief differently. Don't feel badly if you get stuck. And here's another truth I've learned, Ed. Life isn't hills and valleys. Life is train tracks. Now, what in the world does that mean? A lot of people just believe life is sometimes you're on the mountaintop and you have great joy. Other times you're in the valley having great despair. And you just need to realize in life there are valleys and there are mountains. And sometimes you're high, sometimes you're low. I don't think that's accurate. For me, my life has been much more like train tracks. I experience grief and joy simultaneously. They go on at the same time in my life. And I just need to learn that there are a lot of days when I'm feeling grief and I'm feeling great joy at the same time. And that's okay as well. People ask me when they're going through grief, what should I feel? And I say, what you're feeling. You know, whatever you're feeling is okay. And don't feel guilty if indeed you are walking through a deep valley right now and you're feeling grief. Whatever you need to feel is what you need to feel. And open up with it and talk about it. And that's another key with grief. Make sure you talk about it. Don't bottle it up. Find friends, find others that you can just sit down and share your heart. And a good friend will always say to you, I don't care what you're feeling. You're feeling what you're feeling, just talk to me. And somehow those words release those emotions in our hearts.
You said something about tears and shedding of tears.
Yeah, tears are gifts from God that help soothe the grieving heart. Sometimes I've had people who are walking through great loss and they don't think that they should cry. You know, men sometimes fall prey, especially to that, you know, big boys don't cry. But the truth is, tears are gifts from God that help soothe the hurting soul. So when you're with somebody and they start getting tears and they start dripping down their cheeks, or maybe they get even more emotional and start boo-hooing, if you will, encourage them. Say, that's a good gift. Let that happen. And what's interesting, Ed, is did you know Jesus grieved? Jesus indeed wept with great tears. Lazarus, Mary and Martha were great friends of his. They had a home in the town of Bethany, just right outside of Jerusalem. Jesus oftentimes went there to relax, spend the night, just be with his dear friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Well, Lazarus died, and Jesus was away when that happened, and he finally came to Bethany after several days of the death having occurred, and he was asked the question, why didn't you come immediately? And he said, you know, there's purpose in God's plan, and that's the reason I didn't come immediately. But then he went to Lazarus's tomb, and in John 11, these two words, the shortest verse in all of the Bible, Jesus wept. Our Lord and Savior, God in human flesh, wept. He was totally God, but he was also totally human. He experiences everything that we experience. Now, why did he weep? He wept because his good friend Lazarus had died, and he felt loss. But what's so interesting, too, is that word wept in the Greek literally means like a stallion neighing up on its heels and getting ready to rush into war. And what was happening in Jesus' soul was as he looked at Lazarus's death, he was basically going to war against the enemy who is the author of death. God is not the author of death. We need to understand that. God is the author of life. In John 10:10, Jesus says the thief, the enemy, Satan himself comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He is the author of our rebellion that invited sin into the world. As the Apostle Paul said, the wages of sin is death. Death is the result of our rebellion against God. And Jesus hated death. He despised death. And so should we. It's a wrong, evil intrusion into God's once perfect world. Now, what Jesus came to do, though, was to defeat the works of the devil, 1 John 3:8, that when he died on the cross and was raised from the dead, that shows all of us who believe in him, our lives in him, that we're going to have that same resurrection life ourselves. So Jesus hates death. He knows what it does. But nevertheless, when he saw his dear friend Lazarus die in John 11, Jesus wept. He cried. He grieved over the loss of a friend. So it's simply natural for it to happen. We should not feel guilty when it happens. Jesus himself, God in human flesh, grieved. So therefore, it's okay for us to grieve as well.
Many of us believe, truly believe, that every day is a gift.
It is. And we need to live it as such because none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. We're only guaranteed today. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. He taught us not to worry about tomorrow in Matthew 6:34, but to simply focus on today and to seek first his kingdom and to live for him and to love people and care for people. And when that day of death comes, we trust that there is life in eternity. And that promise is what allows us even to face death with hope and not allow grief to be quite so intense. Ed, you've also asked me, what about those times when I hear the voice of a loved one who's passed on? You've said that to me a couple of times.
Here it is, and after my father passed, and now here recently my mom, and I know others have shared this, that you have a dream, and they're, you know, in a room or maybe the house you grew up in, and you hear their voice, and their voice is accurate. The intonation, the sound, it's their voice. So then you wake up and you say, okay, now was that my mind playing back that voice? Where else does my mind play back? It's like, is that a tape recorder? Was that them really trying to speak to us? David, you have a thought on that?
I do indeed. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and as you know, Ed, I just go to the scripture for every question in life. I try to find a biblical answer. And in Hebrews chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews is trying to tie in what's been taught previously, and that's living in faith. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us run this race of faith with endurance till the end. That's a paraphrase, but that's still what he said. And what he's looking at is saying, make sure you run this race of life knowing there's a cloud of witnesses surrounding you, cheering you toward the finish line. Well, a lot of people have asked the question through the ages, who are the cloud of witnesses? Well, I think there are several answers. One of those is the angels of heaven. They are creations by God. And in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, they are sent by God to minister to God's elect. So I think the angels surround us in this invisible world right at our fingertips. Secondly, I think it's those people in Hebrews 11 who operated in faith. You know, Abraham and Daniel and all of those great saints of the Lord who operated in faith. But thirdly, Ed, I really believe it's our loved ones who love the Lord, who've gone on to be with him. They are surrounding us in the cloud of witnesses. And I really believe at times they are speaking to us and they're cheering us on to the finish line. They're telling us, keep moving. Don't give up. Operate in faith.
My mom said she was on crutches. Not she was on a walker. She could hardly walk the last 3 years. And she here is walking around. I go, Mom, where's the crutches? She goes, where I am now, I don't need them.
Yeah.
She told me that.
Yeah. And, you know, the ultimate one cheering us on is the Lord and the Holy Spirit himself. But, you know, I've had times when I've heard a voice and it's so much like my dad's. It's unbelievable. And I go, Dad, is that you? And I'm convinced, again, it's him in the cloud of witnesses who is cheering me on amidst all the trials I face in life. Let's continue with that vein of thought when we come back, Ed. I'm David Chadwick, and we will be right back. And for those of us here today listening to this subject of grief, we believe that God is our shepherd and that he leads us to green grass and still waters. He restores our soul. And in Psalm 23, the great psalm about the loving shepherd of God, we also see, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We have eternal life that's promised to us as we believe and trust and we'll actually see our loved ones again who love the Lord, and we love the Lord, and we have that promise that should continue to give our hearts great hope. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. If you'd like to hear this program in its entirety, go to WBT.com, scroll down to the weekend shows, look for the David Chadwick Show, and you can hear the program from beginning to end. This subject of grief, how to handle grief, especially in a culture now that's losing thousands of lives through COVID, or just the natural grief we go through. If COVID never existed, we'd still experience loss and grief.
Also want to thank our sponsors, David. You have some tremendous sponsors that every week allow us to be on the air.
Perry's Fine Jewelry and also Ruth Chris Steakhouse, both helpful in allowing us to do this program every single week, and many thanks to them for their support.
You know, we have, five senses, and there are senses of smell and taste and touch and hear, and there are certain things that happen throughout the course of the day that remind you of a loved one.
Yeah,
I know it happens to me.
Yeah, I have that happen as well, and I think those are given to us as gifts from God, to remind us that our loved one still lives, and secondly, to remind us that we'll see them again. You know, this world is not all there is, and one thing that's very clear in the Bible is the eternal, invisible kingdom surrounds this temporal, visible kingdom. That's taught throughout the Scripture, and that eternal world, heaven as it's sometimes called in the Bible, is truly a reality. And Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 12 how God lifted him up into the third heaven. And interestingly, he said that the sights and sounds of that heavenly experience were so wonderful and great, he couldn't find words to express it. And he refused to even try to describe it because it was so great, wonderful, and glorious. There's another story in 2 Kings chapter 6 where Elisha the prophet was surrounded by Naaman and a Syrian army trying to capture him. And his servant, Elisha's servant, became very fearful. And Elisha said to him, wait a minute, let's look into the invisible world and you'll see that there are more for us than who are surrounding us. And so God peeled back the layer of this visible world and allowed Elisha and his servant to get a glimpse into the spiritual world. And they were surrounded by thousands upon thousands of the angelic armies, and therefore their fear abated. Again, God's truth there are angels caring for us. They're among the cloud of witnesses that we mentioned in the last segment, who are cheering us on to the finish line. But also, it was a reminder to Elisha and his servant and to you and me, Ed, that we live in a world that is temporal and visible, but in the invisible, eternal world that surrounds us, we know that we're being cared for by all of God's power and strength. And that should give us hope, especially as we move through grief. And I think God is reminding us that no matter what we experience, He's with us. He cares for us. He loves us. And He'll give us the strength to keep moving forward. There's another verse in Corinthians that Paul talks about and how when we finally get to heaven, all of our pain, turmoils, trials, and difficulties here are, and the two words he used, light and momentary. Light and momentary in comparison to the glory of eternity. And the image he uses in Romans 8, verse 18, it's like a woman giving birth to a child. The birth pangs are so terrible, they're so intense, but the moment that baby is laid on her stomach, she forgets all the pain and she rejoices in that new life that's been given to her. Similarly, when we get to heaven, the pain we've had here will immediately dissolve and be forgotten in light of the glory and beauty and splendor of heaven. That's another thing that should be in our minds to help us deal positively with grief today.
Beautiful, beautiful. I beckon back to my dad's funeral, and it was probably the first time I truly realized that our bodies were just a vehicle to take us through the life, and he was no longer in that casket. He's no longer in that grave, and it's interesting, and that's where we pay our respects, and that's when you know that the spirit has moved on. It was years later that I was trying to figure something out. He was an automobile mechanic. I said, hey, Dad, how would you address this problem? And I couldn't figure it out. And then within the next minute or two, I figured it out. And I go, where'd that come from? I says, okay, Dad, thanks a lot. And I know you talked with your father on things like that.
Well, Dad gave me great theological, biblical, and spiritual insights. You know, he was a man of God himself, and that's why I adjure, especially fathers, but moms too, to pass on these deep spiritual truths to your kids, because they learned them, and they learned them at early ages as well. And it's so important that we learn them, because the most important one is the one you just mentioned, Ed, is these bodies age. And you and I have gotten a little older now, and you can remember, and I can too, when my body was young, and I could dunk a basketball, and I had great energy and fervor, and now I couldn't come close to dunking a basketball. My skin's aging, my hair's turning grayer, and each spot on my skin and each hair that grays reminds me that this place isn't my home. This world is not my home, and I'm not my body. As much as I should take care of my body, as you know, and I talk about that, this body is merely a house. It houses who I really am. Who I really am is my spirit inside. And one day, as I trust in the Lord, this body is going to be taken off. The image Paul uses in the Bible is it's like taking off clothes, and I'm going to put on a new resurrection body that's not going to cry, that's not going to hurt, that's not going to have difficulties, that's not going to age. It's a body that's going to be perfect forever. And the way I deal with grief here, at least partly, is I look forward to that eternal resurrection body that God has promised
me. When someone has a lot of disease and they are suffering tremendously after they pass, many people say, oh, they're in a better place.
And they are. If you really believe that heaven is perfect, has no trial, no tears, no turmoil, if you really believe that's your eternal home, that allows you then to put up with a lot of the pain here, knowing that in one moment after death, you're going to inherit all of the goodness of eternity. And again, that kind of faith helps people deal with grief, trials, and difficulties in their lives.
Like you say, life still has a purpose and meaning, and there's always hope.
Yeah, absolutely. And you need to keep moving forward even when you've suffered loss. And one thing I did want to mention, Ed, that sometimes as you're moving forward, there'll be a sight or a smell or a sound that will remind you of your loved one who's gone on, and you'll get knocked back on your back. And the image I use to help people there is it's like going to the ocean. I love the beach. And you're in the water, and everything's calm. You know, a few waves are lapping over you, and you're riding those waves. Then out of the blue comes a rogue wave, and it knocks you on your backside. And everybody tells you when that happens, go limp. Just relax and let the wave carry you to the shore until you're there. Then you get back up and then are able to go back into the water. And the truth is, that's the way life is when handling grief. You're going through life, you're doing pretty well, you think you're healthy, and out of the blue comes a rogue wave, a smell, a sight, a sound that just knocks you down again. And what do? You go limp. In your faith, you just go limp and let it do what it does. Then you get back up and you've got a choice. Either you go back out in the water and enjoy it, or you stop. And what you need to do is keep moving forward in life. You need to go back into the water. Will there be another rogue wave? Probably. Will they get less and less the longer you live? Yes. And that's the encouragement I want to give everyone today. Just go limp, ride the wave. There may be another one, but they'll become less frequent. And when they become less frequent, you'll be able to enjoy the water more and more and more.
David, we've got about a minute and a half before break. You got one more for us?
I do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1:4, Paul says that what we've been through in life, God oftentimes uses for us to help somebody else going through that same experience. So I would say to everyone who has gone through grief or is presently going through grief, there's purpose in the pain, that God has meaning even in the problem. What he wants you to do is to get through it as best you can, and then go find somebody else that you can go care for who's also going through grief. Offer them some hope with what you've done in order to get well again. Then the pain has purpose. Then you can use the difficulty for a larger meaning. I don't think God allows us to go through anything in life unless there's some purpose he has for us to go help somebody else who's going through that same pain. A great verse is 2 Corinthians 1:4, and that's what Paul is saying, that what he's been through helps other people go through the same thing. So realize, folks, that you don't have to become despairing in the pain, that God's still in control. He works all things together for good for those who love him or are called according to his purpose. All things means all things. Yes, even the loss of a loved one. And when you go care for somebody else who's walking through a deep valley that you've walked through, then suddenly not only does your life have new purpose and meaning, you're helping make this world a better place in which to live because you're serving and not being served. Ed, when we come back, I want to look at a very important verse in the Bible that I think puts grief into its right context. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are.
And you can handle grief, dear friends, much better if you really believe God is a good, good Father, that He really is, and that you're loved by Him, and that who you are really isn't your body. These bodies age, fade, and die, but who you are is a child of God, deeply and dearly loved by Him. And when you believe that, you can face grief more ably. A verse I want to give to all of you today that I think is so important from the Bible that helps us handle grief is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, where Paul said, "We who are followers of Jesus do not grieve like those who have no hope." Now, there are a couple of things I want to point out there. First of all, that those who follow Jesus grieve. Myself, Ed Billick in the studio with me, a lover of Jesus, my dad, mom, the people we know who have a deep and abiding faith, even though that faith is real, we still grieve. But here's the difference. Those of us who love the Lord grieve with hope. We grieve with hope that there's life after this one. We grieve with hope that we'll see our loved ones again. We grieve with hope that we'll have resurrection bodies that never tire or have tears or trials or tribulations. We grieve knowing that this world is not all that there is, and that then gives us hope. Those of us who love Jesus do grieve, but we grieve with hope that there's a life after this one, and this world isn't all there is. So everyone who's grieving out there, memorize 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. It is a wonderful verse that helps us, even those of us in faith, to continue to move forward. We do grieve. Grief is a natural part of life. It's loss. As again, a lot of people spell grief, L-O-S-S, but we grieve with hope. And that hope gives us the desire to keep moving forward in this life. I love that verse, Ed.
David, how about this one? The person passes. They didn't have a good life and probably known as many sins as they committed. And the spouse says, or friend says, "God, I don't know where they ended up." Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know if where's justice. And all that. Of course, we don't want to judge. But, you know, there are some people that they had horrendous lives. I think you even said something about Ted Bundy.
Yeah.
If we know who he is.
Yeah. Ted Bundy was a serial killer who was baptized in prison right before he died. And I've had people come to me and say, "Are you kidding me? Ted Bundy gets to go to heaven?" And, you know, Ed, from the Christian faith perspective, we're all given the gift of eternal life by grace and mercy through faith, and it's not of our works. And you know a parable you were telling me about that you heard last Sunday when you were at Mass.
Last Sunday's gospel about the workers in the vineyards, and those that started early morning got the same wage as those that showed up the last hour of the day.
And that parable's trying to make the statement that we all earn eternal life by grace through faith. It's a gift from God. So that the worker who starts early in the morning is expecting a wage because of all of his works that's greater than the guy who comes at the end of the day. And Jesus is trying to say, no, the gift of the wage of eternal life is a gift, and a gift doesn't have a time stamp on it. And so we believe that when people are dying, we don't know what's going on in their hearts. And I tell people all the time who are worried about, you know, their relative or their loved one who may not have known the Lord, I say to them, you don't know what was going on in their hearts. And they might have cried out in their last breath at 6:59, the wage laborer who came in at the last moment, "Have mercy on me, O God." And God is merciful, Ed. He's a whole lot more merciful than you and I are. We're so judgmental. We want to tell people, well, I think you need to go to you know where. But God is so merciful and so kind. So we leave justice and ultimate judgment to God. We know that whatever he decided about that loved one or that person is perfect justice. It's perfectly just. So we can leave it in his hands and move forward. And I really believe in heaven, people go, oh, I'm going to miss my loved one who's not here because they were just awful. They didn't accept the Lord. I go, you know, that memory of that person is going to be either assuaged to not hurt anymore, or it's not going to be allowed to enter your mind. You're just not going to be allowed to have tears in heaven. And so God will treat everything justly, perfectly, and we'll be able to sit back and say, thank you, Lord. I'm glad you're the judge of the universe, not me.
How about that? Any final ones before we say a prayer here? Do you have any final thoughts on grief?
Yeah, I would say this to anyone listening. Please make sure you have positive friends around you as you're experiencing grief. Don't surround yourself with a bunch of negative Nellies who are constantly telling you how awful it is and how you maybe shouldn't grieve so long. Or here's a worse one that some people say, you just need to get over it. You know, everybody grieves differently, and you need to walk through grief in your way. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. God will be with you in the valley of the shadow of death, and you just need to keep moving forward and surround yourself with people who will say things like, you're going to make it through it. You will get through this. I'm here with you. You can say anything you want to me anytime, and I'll always hear it. You can cry in my presence, and I'll give you a hug, and I'll accept your tears as gifts from God that you trust me to be a good friend in your presence. So make sure that you surround yourself with good friends who will encourage you through the grief and not discourage you amidst your grief. Ed, are you ready to pray? I think our people would prosper from us spending a little bit of time in prayer here at the end of the show.
Instead of a moment of hope, which is a moment of prayer.
Well, I think prayer is simply expressing to God the desires of our heart, and we can say to him anything and everything we need to say. You know, God wants our grief to be poured out to him because he knows what we're going through. But as you played in the song at the beginning of this segment, he's a good, good father.
Thank you, David. Great show.
Father in heaven, Daddy, the lover of my soul, who has revealed your love to us through Jesus, who came and died and was raised from the dead to give us the gift of eternal life. I pray for anyone out there right now that doesn't have the assurance of that eternal life to have that assurance right now, just to receive Jesus and to know that he loves you so deeply. And when you know that love in your heart, you'll not only have a way to handle your grief, you'll be a lover of other people for the rest of your days here on this earth. You'll be able to take the grief you've experienced and go help somebody else who's walking through that same kind of grief. Lord, I ask everyone out there right now to submit themselves to you, to trust in your mercy and your love, to know that you're good and you're kind. And I pray, Lord, they'd realize that the invisible world, the eternal invisible world, surrounds us. And we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses that includes the angels in heaven, that includes the great saints that are in the Bible. It also includes our loved ones who've gone on before us. And Lord, let us get quiet enough sometimes to hear them cheering us to the finish line at that moment when we take our last breath. The truth is, Lord, the statistics are in. One out of one die, but the wages of sin is death. The evil one's the author of death, not you. You came to give us life and to give it to us abundantly. So, Lord, let us claim the gift of eternal life, believing there's a future and a hope. We continue to live in that future and hope, knowing that you're taking care of us every single day until we go to be with you. Thank you, Lord, for the promise of your gift of life. And we don't grieve as believers in you, as people who have no hope. We grieve with hope, knowing that this death is not the end of life. It's the beginning of a new life, and there we live forever and ever. Our grief has no more power over us. Thank you, Lord, for this day, for Ed Billick, for all the people listening. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
After my heart attack, Cash from Active Care meant I had choices.
When I had cancer,
Cash from Active Care meant I didn't need to stress so much about money.
What is Active Care? Active Care is a supplemental health insurance policy that offers protection for covered cancer, heart attack, or stroke, and a choice of cash benefit options from $10,000 to $60,000. If you're diagnosed with cancer, a heart attack, or stroke, you could end up paying thousands of dollars or more in out-of-pocket medical bills. Active Care gives you protection at an affordable price. So, get Active Care for cash, choice, and control. Active Care is brought to you by Colonial Penn Life Insurance Company and is underwritten by Washington National Insurance Company. Visit ColonialPenn.com for more information. This is a limited benefit policy. This policy has limitations and exclusions. For costs and complete details of coverage, visit ColonialPenn.com.